On Sunday, January 12th, at about 5 o'clock in the morning, Greenwich Mean Time, or Coordinated Universal Time. To be exact, it's 4:58 a.m. and 28 seconds. Saturn reaches an exact conjunction with Pluto in Capricorn. It'll be happening later on in the day, actually January 13th in the Far East in Australia. But this isn't just a Saturn-Pluto conjunction. The astrologic moment has a double kicker to it, because it includes a conjunction with our Capricorn Sun at less than a degree away, and Mercury at less than a half a degree away. So what this amounts to is a moment of pure Kairos for the entire globe. And yes, it's even more significant if it's happening within 3 degrees of any of your natal planets, especially if you were born between, say, January 10th and January 15th. But this is something that's going to affect all of us, and pretty much indicates a significant change of some sort. But change means opportunity, and that's why I brought up the concept of Kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S. So I don't know if you're familiar with the concept of Kairos, but it essentially means the confluence of right place, right time, and right person, who, by the way, had better take the right action or else. And that right person is you. Of course, it's also me and every single one of us. And that being the case, you might be wondering what the right action is supposed to be, what you as an individual are supposed to be doing. Well, the short answer is, it all depends on you, because it's meant to be different for each one of us. You see, this powerful, wild, and crazy conjunction is an opportunity for everyone on the planet to do the very thing demanded of them by their own psyche. And I don't just mean taking out the garbage, going to the gym, or starting a healthy diet. I mean making a decision to do that thing that you know you were born to do. Your cosmic job description. In other words, this astronomic event is an astrologic indicator that the time is ripe for you and me to make a kind of cosmic New Year's resolution. Except it's not your typical resolution. You know, the kind you make with your head, where you say you're going to do something because it's idealistic or morally correct, or just sounds like a good idea. You know what I'm talking about. Those are the resolutions that come out of wishful thinking. You make them knowing full well that committing to them and sticking with them through thick and thin, well, that requires the kind of willpower that very few people possess. So the good news is that there's absolutely no willpower required for this resolution. The circumstance you're in is going to supply all of the willpower you could possibly need to stick with this one. In fact, this is going to reveal itself to be something of a no-brainer, since it's not going to come from your head. Coming in Capricorn, as it does, this is going to be something that you just feel in your bones. The bad news, though, because whenever Pluto or Saturn is involved, there's always some bad news. Well, the bad news is that you're going to be compelled to make this resolution and act on it, because push is going to come to shove. Saturn and Pluto are going to put you right between a rock and a hard place, and you're not going to like it. Now, being cornered like this doesn't mean that you won't have choice in the matter, though. You always have your astrologic Miranda rights. Meaning, you have every right to refuse to cooperate with the circumstance you find yourself in. And that's called free will. But this conjunction means business. And the business it's in is change, written in all capital letters. So while we all have the opportunity or the option to reject that change and fight against it, doing so will pretty much be like trying to stand your ground in the face of a hurricane or a tsunami of psychic force. There's no question that fighting this will prove to be exhausting. And the reality is that you could actually withstand this. But that would be the very definition of a Pyrrhic victory. Chances are this change, whatever it is going to win out anyway. So I don't recommend trying to maintain the status quo. What I do recommend is sitting with this and paying attention to the situation as it presents itself to you. Whatever it is, it's going to be something of a psychic avalanche, but one that you can easily ride out as long as you're willing to consider options you previously thought of as impossible or even forbidden. So I realize I'm building this up to sound terrifying, maybe, but this isn't actually meant to be some cataclysmic event in the world. Yeah, sure, there's plenty of craziness on the world stage to regret and be frightened of right now. And that is representative of the dark side of this Pluto and Saturn and Capricorn zeitgeist. But in the context of your own everyday life, this is something entirely different. What it amounts to is that something important, steady, and enduring in your life has reached the end of its shelf life. And so having outlived its usefulness to you, unless you choose to respond to this new condition in a creative way, it's going to inundate you with ridiculous demands on your time, energy, and attention. In other words, this is some crumbling personal infrastructure that just needs to come down. Whatever it is, it's pretty much beyond the stage when you can properly repair and maintain it. And I don't think it needs rebuilding either, at least not the way it was originally constructed. Apparently, it's time to let it go. And that's never easy. But for whatever reason, that's why we've got Saturn and Pluto in our faces. They're kind of like Jules and Vincent, the hitmen in Pulp Fiction. Except they only team up once in a blue moon. Actually, it's more like once in 500 years. But I'll have more to say about that later. All we need to know for now is that with the choices we're being given, letting go is the smart one. So all of this takes place in the context of an astrologic house, and that's going to be different for each of us depending on which time zone we live in. There's a link in the show notes for you to figure out which one, if you don't already know. All you have to do is enter the city you live in, and that will pop up on the time zone map. And the house placement is useful because it gives us a bit of a heads up concerning the arena where the change is meant to take place in our lives. But before we get to that, the addition of the Sun and Mercury to this conjunction, it makes it all the more powerful of a stellium. I think the Sun means that this change is fundamental to our personal identity, who we think of ourselves as. In the presence of Mercury, well, that pretty much guarantees the whole thing is going to be homeopathic, meaning whatever bitterness we taste in this changing circumstance, as weird as it might seem, it's meant to heal us, to make us whole. That's the promise of Mercury. Mercury also promises to make it quick. Okay, all of this takes place in the context of a Leo moon, which just means there's no way we can hide the change. It's going to be obvious to everyone around us. So flaunting it is pretty much advised. And this zeitgeist is also affected by the change in Uranus. Uranus in Taurus goes or went direct at 1:47:52 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time, or UTC, on January 11th, and will remain direct for the next 7 months. I guess what that tells us is that we've got 7 months of work ahead of us in dealing with this change. And we're not going to know exactly how it's supposed to look or even how it's going to turn out. Think of it as a construction site. Before the dust settles, sometime in August, expect things to be kind of messy and noisy. But trust that what you're building, well, it's going to be up to date and actually seem ahead of its time. Except that whatever it is, it's going to be right on time and perfect for the zeitgeist. For the record, the last time Pluto entered Capricorn was 1762. It was there for about 17 years, but was never conjuncted by Saturn. Venus, the Sun, Mercury, the Moon, even Jupiter, they all made a conjunction with Pluto, but no Saturn. Now, the last time Saturn conjuncted Pluto, that was in 1518. And it happened on January 13th, according to our Gregorian calendar, and January 3rd, according to the Julian calendar. Of course, Pluto wasn't discovered until 1930, but the astrologic influence, well, that's something to think about. So what that means is we have a precedent for this. And the very good news is that there was no earth-shattering catastrophe. Humanity didn't destroy itself, and Mother Earth got through it all without working up a sweat. But there were two historical instances of note that took place in that zeitgeist. The first is more amusing than anything else. I'll give you a quote from Wikipedia because it's as good a summary as anything else. And they say that something called the Dancing Plague, or Dance Epidemic, of 1518 was a case of dancing mania that occurred in Strasbourg in Alsace in July of 1518. Around 400 people took to dancing for days without rest, and over a period of about 1 month, some of those affected collapsed or even died of heart attack, stroke, or exhaustion. I guess you could call it the first rave. And let's just leave it at that. But the second historical incident of that zeitgeist, that had an impact that changed the Western world. And it took place less than 3 months prior to the exact conjunction. Just remember that Pluto transits over a specific point normally. They take about 5 years. And their peak of influence lasts about 1 year within that 5 year span. And the incident in question took place on October 31st, 1517. And it happened when Martin Luther wrote a letter to his bishop protesting the sale of indulgences. And he included in the letter a copy of his disputation on that particular subject, what's known as his 95 Theses. According to Wikipedia, in January of 1518, friends of Luther translated the 95 Theses from Latin into German. Within 2 weeks, copies of the thesis had spread throughout Germany. Within 2 months, they had spread throughout Europe. Okay, how's that for change? And so this conjunction in our own zeitgeist, that isn't asking us to change the world. It's just asking us to do whatever it is we were born to do. Kind of like Luther. Because if we change, if we end up doing what we were born to do, that's how the world gets changed. So one last thing before I start talking about house placements. Jupiter is going to transit over this astrologic point on March 20th. And that signifies something of a rainbow after the storm of change we're expected to go through. It's not likely to be a pot of gold, but who knows? Let's just think through these house placements a little bit. This conjunction is going to take place in one of the 12 houses, depending on where in the world you are in the moment. So I'm going to try to take you through one house at a time, and you can find out for yourself which one applies to you according to your individual time zone. Although things get a little hinky with time zones, since house placements have much more to do with longitude. And time zones, well, they're just more of a human convention than a natural one. So they don't always reflect exactly how far east or west you live, which is actually how the house placements get decided. So for all practical purposes, this conjunction takes place in the first house at plus 13 universal time. That is plus 13 hours universal time. And also minus 9 hours universal time. So plus 13 is in Auckland in New Zealand. And that whole time zone. Minus 9 is in Fairbanks, Alaska. And that whole time zone. First house? Well, I think that has something to do with anger. Also has something to do with, like, blazing your own trail. The way you deal with anger, the way you get angry, what you get angry about, expect that to change. Second house, plus 10 hours, plus 10 and a half hours, plus 11 hours of universal time. That's most of the rest of Australia. Second house has a lot to do with money, but To me, it also has much more to do with the body, with animals, with all things natural. It has to do with gardening, it has to do with music. I mean, obviously, things are changing over there as far as gardening goes. Forest fires usually change the landscape. And when things grow again from that space, they are different. So this fire ordeal, second house, it's awful. But something good is going to come out of this. Something new is going to arise. Something new is going to be built out of this. Perhaps something like the Chicago fire, when all of the architecture of Chicago changed afterwards. There will be a phoenix arising from this. It doesn't help right now. It doesn't make things any easier. But that's the nature of Pluto and Saturn. It occurs in the third house in Western Australia, plus 8 hours universal time. Third house is the house of story. Something about the story of Western Australia and that whole aspect of the far eastern continent. It's going to change around this time. The story changes. I don't know how, but it changes. The fourth house, that happens somewhere between Western Australia and Moscow. There's that whole swath of the continent. India, Kazakhstan, parts of Western China, parts of the Eastern Soviet Union. Fourth house is the psychic basement. Either the psychic basement gets filled up with things that should have been taken care of, should have been cleaned out. Things get hoarded, perhaps. Or things do get cleaned out. The psychic basement gets renewed, gets renovated. Space for doing other things. You just have more psychic space available. Fifth house? It's that time zone that includes Moscow and Baghdad. That's interesting, because it's, well, fifth house. Creativity, children. Something creative happens. The capacity to be creative improves. And it becomes obvious to everyone. There's something about enthusiasm in this. There's a new enthusiasm in the Middle East. There's a new enthusiasm for it. And it starts doing things in a new way. Sixth house, it's most of Western Europe. It's universal time, plus 1 hour, plus 2 hours. And Greenwich Mean Time. Sixth house is the house of work. Our work changes. Who we serve changes. How we serve changes. Seventh and eighth house, this is interesting. It's all out in the middle of the Atlantic. Not too many people that get affected by this. It also affects big chunk of Greenland, but not too many people get affected by this. Ninth house is off the coast of North America. It's minus 4 hours universal time. Puerto Rico, Rio. Ninth house is the house of Sagittarius, of generosity, of big stuff. I think there's a new capacity for generosity. I don't know how it's going to look. I don't know how it's going to play out. Tenth house, well, that's most of the east coast of North America. And a good chunk of South America. Minus 6 hours and minus 5 hours universal time. Central Standard Time and Eastern Standard Time. Well, 10th house, that's politics. Power. There's going to be a big change. It's not going to be pretty. I'll leave that to your imagination. 11th house, Mountain Standard Time. New technologies. Doing things differently. It's all going to change. 12th house, Pacific Standard Time, west coast of North America. Wow, a new form of consciousness, a new awareness of consciousness, what it means to be conscious. Now that's a little bit sparse, I would say, a little bit of a Spartan look at the different houses, but I guess that's the nature of Capricorn. Capricorn is a little bit taciturn. But just let me say, for those with the sun in Capricorn, birthdays around this time, how this affects you, it's going to affect your very sense of self. It's going to change your very sense of self. In a good way, though. And for those of you who are experiencing a Saturn return around this time, holy smokes, that first Saturn return around age 29, with Pluto involved in it, oh my goodness. Talk about maturity. We all go through a Saturn return, our first Saturn return, but for those having it now, this is not about being scarred. This is about having experience, something changing that very few of us have had to go through. And for those of you going through a second Saturn return, again, talking about maturity, talking about wisdom, this is going to change your beliefs, much the way that Luther did. So actually, we could probably talk about this stuff all day and debate it, but let's just leave it at that for now. You're going to experience what you're going to experience. It'd be so interesting to know what that is. So, if this episode spoke to you, please share it. I'll be back with future episodes as the Zeitgeist dictates, so just be sure to subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcast app floats your boat. That way you won't miss those future episodes when I put them out. Just remember, you can always find the show at Kristo.com/podcast. That's Kristo.com. Also, please give a listen to my art podcast, Kristo.art, Kristo.art. In that podcast, I'd give you ways of thinking about and looking at art that will tickle your interest in art and strengthen your own intuition. You can find it on your favorite podcast app, as well as on the website, Kristo.art. Thanks for listening.